Baidu CEO Robin Li, or Li Yanhong, might have landed himself in a bit of a trouble with the law after showing off the driverless car on live stream this Wednesday. Though it is not encouraged to conduct such tests in public areas, his action has aroused great interest in the seem-to-be vehicle for tomorrow in China. So let's talk about, what did Li Yanhong do that got the interest of the traffic police?
Yes, the now tech bad boy, Robin Li, CEO of China's online search engine Baidu, I'm sure you guys have heard of it, okay, was tailed by Beijing traffic police after live streaming himself in a Baidu driverless car on Beijing's Fifth Ring Road on Wednesday. In the live streaming footage shown at the Create 2017 Baidu AI Developer Conference in Beijing, Li can be seen seated in the passenger seat of a red pilotless vehicle, saying that he had just hit the capital's Fifth Ring Road on his way to the conference site. The footage lasted about 1 minute, though, okay? So, knowing that it was a smart drive car, the Beijing traffic management authorities immediately started an investigation. Beijing Youth Daily quoted an unnamed officer as saying the current traffic laws and regulations do not yet allow driverless vehicles on the roads. It remains unknown if such a test has been evaluated or approved by any relevant departments as of yet. Baidu's first took to self-driving cars when it went out for a spin in Beijing in December 2015. But this was a controlled road test, guys, okay? So basically, as I understand, you know, there's multiple criteria that this car, under the driving law that Beijing has here, according to the law of the People's Republic of China on road traffic safety, Article 95, we see a couple infractions done by this tech bad boy here, and that is, it's not registered, the car he has, right? So registration means the government has the approval, saying, okay, this is a safe car to be able to let be on the roads, this kind of thing, right? So it's approved, it's safe, that kind of thing. Also, the fact that, I mean, part of maybe the reason why you can't register these cars is because the licensed driver doesn't necessarily even have to be in the driver's seat, as Mr. Li had proved. He was in the passenger seat. So let's say something happens on this Fifth Ring Road, something, you know, we're going to get into all the different things that can happen, but something does happen. He cannot initially respond as quickly or at all because he's not in the driver's seat. So multiple infractions happening here. And so this is a hot topic, though, because now it's kind of bringing to the forefront. What are we going to do in the future? Is automated driving going to be the future, or will we still be in the driver's seat? I think that's the topic we're looking at.
Yes, that's a very good question to be asked. And also here, I think I can totally understand why did you just call him tech bad boy?
Tech bad boy. Oh. He's like the Tony Stark of China now, in my mind.
Yes,
Tony Stark of China.
That is such good branding for Mr. Li.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome, buddy. Don't forget me, okay?
Yeah, I wonder if he's going to appreciate it himself. I certainly think it's a good way to brand him. And also, I think he is doing this for the company to draw interest in the maybe future business of Baidu.
It's a PR stunt,
absolutely. And live streaming it with the self-driving car. This is all the terms in buzz that's being used here. Yeah. So certainly this is drawing people's interest a great deal.
Yeah.
Huangshan, so tell us a little bit more about self-driving cars, or how do you define this relatively new concept?
Yeah, actually, I do some research about the car and Li Yanhong was sitting in, and I think the car was from a company from the Silicon Valley in the States. But the important thing why he promotes this is the technology they use is developed by Baidu. It's called Apollo or something, so it can quickly build a car's automatic driving system. I think the reason why he chose this time to promote this technology, he wants to attract more like collaboration opportunities because it's their conference, like Create 2017, Baidu AI Developer Conference. So they want to attract more like public attention.
Oh, yeah.
And also, I don't know why he conduct this like practice or experimental drive on the fifth ring. Actually, he can try to find a remote area or some suburb areas. Yeah.
I don't think that was a mistake, though. I do think it is a PR stunt. That's why I'm calling him the Tony Stark, the tech
Iron
bad
Man
boy.
Of China.
Because I think he wants to kind of get people's attention.
Yeah,
and
that's a point.
That's a way to do it. But also, you know, autonomous cars. So these are those cars, like you had been mentioning, that everybody wants to go after. They self-drive, right? They can. What they do is autonomous cars use a variety of techniques to detect their surroundings, such as radar, laser light, GPS, audiometry, computer vision. Gosh, so many things. None of us, unless you're an engineer, probably understand. But basically, they are capable of analyzing sensory data from these different mediums to distinguish between different cars on the road, even.
Wow.
But basically, any obstacle that is in your path. Now, currently, I do want to say that full automation is not where we are at right now.
Yeah.
And according to the Society of Automotive Engineers, they have issued 6 levels of classification to define this kind of automated cars. Because we definitely, I mean, Robin Lee was in the passenger seat, so there's something there, right? But I don't think it's fully automated, or what these guys would consider fully automated. Let's talk about that. So level 0, that's no automation, guys. That's what we're driving around right now, if we are driving, for the most part, right? Level 1, so maybe you have a little steering assistance, this kind of thing, but basically you do have to be very, you know, paying attention to the road, this kind of thing. 2, partial assistance, it's still able to do basically your steering and driving and braking, these kind of things. The car can do that, but it's not something you should rely on still, okay? It is more of like the backup in case maybe you doze off at the wheel or something happens. You know, it's like the emergency, but it's nothing you could say, just take me away, this kind of thing, you know? I believe level 3, it's very much able to read your surroundings in certain environments, but still, guys, drivers must be ready to intervene at any time because maybe there's rain and these kind of things. So environments, severe weather can also play a part for level 3 and level 4, which makes it so it's not a car that you can basically always be in the passenger seat, as I understand. So level 3, level 4, the car is basically fully automized to a basic sense, right? But things like weather, things that cannot be predicted that necessarily does happen on the road, this would prevent it from being, you know, in the sense you don't have to sit in the driver's seat, fully automated. Then you have level 5. This is a decade or more away, folks, okay? So don't get too excited.
Bummer.
But this is basically you say, beep, boop, beep, beep, in your car, and it takes you there, and you're like, all right, time to catch up on my sleep while I get to work, this kind of thing. Oh, sounds so nice. But, you know, basically what I want to say, guys, is there are some pioneers of this real quick, and I want to talk about them, okay? Singapore, they're doing it with self-driving shuttles, but they do it on it's like a trial period, and I guess it began in January 2016. They're like little buses, and basically they're being used on service roads with minimal traffic. You got Gothenburg, the second largest Swedish city. They're testing Volvo's Drive Me program. You got Pittsburgh. I guess Uber's really going after this kind of technology there at, I guess, Carnegie Mellon. You got Amsterdam. They're the Dutch infrastructure minister, Melanie Schultz, is pushing for standard rules and laws so that these cars can start being on the streets, as I understand. Toronto, they're developing a roadmap for these kind of cars, a 2-year roadmap. So basically, you see societies, cities all around the world really getting ready. You know, this is happening. Big cities are preparing for self-driving cars.
Yeah, that's a really good introduction of the general picture and also global usage to this point. Thank you, Ryan, for that. And also, I actually found maybe that's one shared pattern among all of these examples. That is, it's being used on a more of a fixed route and maybe not a lot of people around. So minimizing risks or emergencies that may occur at on the streets, as we see every day, like in the streets of Beijing. There's not only the motorists, there is the guy, the delivery guy with those little scooters.
Ooh, I didn't even think about them.
They're all over the place, and sometimes even driving in the opposite direction when in the wrong lane.
Not obeying the rules of traffic.
Yeah. And that is a real big issue if we want self-driving cars to be something prevalent, if we can see a future for it. But certainly this is happening, and all these big tech giants, car manufacturers, and lots of R&D centers in that's research and development centers in companies, and also in a lot of colleges are focusing on this, and of course Baidu is doing this as well. And Huang Shen, what do you think the future of this? Do you think this is something that's got some advantages to it?
Yeah, I think it's a big dream, but I think from the development research right now, I think we can reach that dream. And also I read some reports says that this kind of driverless cars, they can be legally available, but only in some like industrial parks or the complex in 2 or 3 years, and they have to drive in the low speed. So I think if it become a mature project, it needs maybe 5 to 10 years. Yeah,
I don't share that sentiment, and I want to go through this because I think this is where it gets interesting. Us trying to predict a future we have no clue about, at least as it pertains to automation, right? It's kind of a scary thing that we're giving up so much of our control at this point to technology, our safety in cars and driving, all right? So first of all, some say it might be safer. In 2008, a survey by the U.S. National Traffic Safety Administration found that human error is a critical reason for 93% of crashes. That's a lot. That's a huge correlation. It cannot be ignored. But so basically saying human error. If we use automation, we take away that. Now, I say, my argument to this, because a lot of people feel the sentiment, they're like, oh, drunk driving, going to be a thing of the past, all this stuff, you know, sleeping at the wheel, we don't have to worry about it, we're going to be safe. I get that. I share that sentiment, but I also want to look at the side of the story that we don't know where it's going to happen. And what I'm going to say is there's human error in everything, but now we take the real world human error and we put it on a digital front. Now, you might be saying, what are the digital human errors? Well, here's one great example. Hacking, all right? Mm. Nowadays, you've got hackers, you've got terrorists. Sometimes you put those two together when it's a big city, people driving around, you can do some serious, serious damage. And instead of just 93% of traffic crashes happening because of human error of different people, you could have it that same really high percentage in a one day from one group of people that have a beef to pick with someone, you know? A good example is recently, I guess, in Austria, there was a hotel room that had their doors hacked. And to open them, an email was sent to the hotel demanding 1,900 paid in untraceable Bitcoin. You know, this stuff is happening all the time, even though if it's not necessarily super high profile, you hear about it. So there are a lot of problems and things, safety you're giving up instead of you think you're in good hands and control, but maybe you're in the hands of somebody else that doesn't know you, that has a beef to pick, and then suddenly you've given up that safety and you don't know who has it. You think it's maybe your car, but your car could be connected to a server that somebody else could have control over.
Yes, that's a really good point, Ryan. I have to side with you on this one, because when you look at latest examples, we've talked about the wannabe cyber malware earlier this year. Yeah. And also late June, there was another global cyber breach. And what was really interesting with this one is that actually the malware was enabled by the hackers to steal passwords from the NSA, from the administrative government organs, to find the weapons. So whenever, if ever, these cyber techniques have been made available, it's even hard to keep it in the safe because it can be stolen. So it's not in
absolutely.
The... So even if it was in the hands of the white hatters or the good people, but there is still the risk of being taken away. So there is no 100% safe.
There's that risk that we don't know about. I mean, who knows how to hack necessarily unless you're involved in that circle? It's just technology that is just levels beyond the common knowledge of any of us, right? Yet we rely on it so much. We think it's the world. It basically is becoming that in so many ways. But hold on. Also, I do want to say there's people saying that there's going to be less traffic. So that is the human brain, as I have here. Their argument is the human brain has a much slower reaction time than an electronic system. And basically saying this is an argument for why they would be better drivers. Well, I also disagree on that. And Huang Shen, I'd love to get your opinion, but hold on real quick. The reason why I disagree, I agree that yes, it's faster, but calculators can do math problems faster than me. That's been there for a very long time. Graphing calculators, this is nothing new. Technology aiding in the mundane, faster stuff. But I think human beings will always be one step ahead, because who created computers? Who created this system? It was a human being. We are innovative. We can think outside the box. We have intuition. And I think intuition is a pilot's best friend, because you can say the calculations can get you from A to B, but sometimes intuition maybe gives you that X factor where you're able to predict where the situation will go without numbers and these kind of things basically deciding your course.
Yeah, of course. And I think because the driverless cars, they are still in the initial age, so I have a lot of questions I'm concerned about, because it has so many uncertainties and challenges. Let's take an example. Like, if an accident happened, who should be blamed for, or who should be responsible for the accident?
You should
let the car's holder to pay, or the car's developer, or the developer of the system. So it's something hard to define, I think.
Yeah, it's really hard to pinpoint whose legal responsibility it is if a car crash does happen when you have got a self-driver car involved.
Yeah.
For example, let's paint the picture of this moral problem. If suddenly a mom pushing a baby in a cart, in a stroller, and crosses the street out of nowhere, and then the driver... the driver at the passenger seat that's not actually driving the self-driving car, engages in contact, and then... Who's responsible is it? Because the person at the passenger seat is not necessarily driving the car.
You have a whole area of law that basically would need to develop just for those kind of situations. And I agree, it's going to be confusing. But I think that can be argued for days. And one person can claim they're right and the other the same. But at the end of the day, law needs to be developed so that we can navigate these situations, right? Also, you know, some people have said that this is going to be less fuel. It's going to be greener. Actually, I see that. I see calculators, yes. Maybe a fully automated car being better than, you know, they're not going to be speeding. They're not going to be like from this red light to the next red light. This kind of erratic driving that wastes a lot of fuel.
Speed.
Right, exactly. And you see in this initiative, a lot of these places and cities are pursuing electric cars. Now, people have said it's going to be less drivers, less work. This is another thing that I wanted to bring to the forefront, and fans of Roundtable know this. We argued about in the past how something like, let's say, spell check has made it so that our spelling is awful. You know, now people don't know how to spell words. We did that Google search thing, or they provided that research of how certain states don't know how to spell stuff. We had a big talk about it. These kind of things have made us kind of rely on technology. Now, what I'm worried about, self-driving cars. Will we forget the rules of the road? Will we one day get to an intersection and our computer shut off and we don't know how to navigate the red lights and the green lights anymore, or the stop line and stop signs and who goes first at a four-way intersection? This kind of thing could lead to, in a way, a dumbing down of society in the real world, not in the digital world. I think that's where we're growing in our potential and our brains. But in the real world, I think we're becoming less and less able in certain ways to navigate through it without at least technology.
I think that's a very good point. And actually, Ryan, I think your fear, it's already happening on so many fronts, even in driving itself right now. I think everybody who drives have used some app called some sort of navigation or map app. And do we remember how to go from A to B? Well, Yang certainly does not. I solely rely on my GPS. I think that is already happening, but it is a matter of how much are we willing to give up more.
Well, that's a good question, and I want to question this initiative. I want to question initiatives like this moving forward. Why are we doing this? Is this because we have lost trust in ourselves and others and lack of faith in their driving abilities and in the road, and so we've decided to give this control to somebody else, a third party, automation, right? Or is it because we're lazy? We don't want to do the work anymore. Basically, Huyang's analogy, before we used to have to pull out a map and pull over on the side of the road. Now we just type it in our GPS. Or is it a mix of both? And if it is because we've lost faith in ourselves, is that a healthy mindset moving forward into the future? Are we developing into this kind of society that doesn't trust ourselves anymore?
Or maybe are
That
we.
we don't trust ourselves and we give our trust and everything we have to a computer because we don't think we can do it anymore.
No, I don't think so. I think it just makes your life better and easier, I think. Because like AI is a trend of the future world, so everyone want to like set a foot on this industry. So I think it's just make your life easier. So we don't need to open the map, the paper map. We can turn to the apps,
But
right?
is that necessarily a good thing as well?
Yeah, but we still need the time. Like, just take China's traffic situation into consideration. Do you think it's practical in China?
Well, sure. I'm just saying that one day I think you're right. No matter whether we disagree here at Roundtable, we're going to be there one day, whether we like it or not. So science just seems to have a way of progressing to this kind of making life easier. But I do get the vibe that because of all these arguments I've listed from other people, that there is this lack of trust of human beings in their ability to do certain things, and that's also kind of depressing in a way for me.
I totally see
I
what you.
believe in all of us.
But I also have that lack of trust in technology. And maybe a lack
Cave
of
woman.
trust in on both ends. And I think you guys do paint a very bright picture in a way, a very rational picture of self-driving cars, maybe lining up on streets and driving in its utmost efficiency. But that will only happen when everything else on a street is all automized. Will that happen?